Yes. Shall we turn to the book of Matthew? Matthew 6. We're going to read from verse 9 to 13. Matthew 6:9-13. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the topic of our message. It's the Lord's Prayer. As we said last week, it's not actually the Lord's Prayer. It is disciples' prayer. Because he's telling these disciples how to pray. He's telling them, he's giving them this skeleton, this model of how to pray. We saw that the intention of this word, this model, was not to be repeated every time. It was not repetitive things we should say. It was not actual prayer. It was a model, a skeleton. We have to put meat into it. His disciples wanted him to teach them how to pray. And he taught them, as we saw in Luke, they didn't ask for a prayer. Teach us a prayer, they said. Teach us how to pray. And he gave them this model. So if we repeat this all the time, we are contradicting, as he says in verses before this, that do not do like the Pharisees who go in synagogues and repeat, do these repetitive things. They repeat things. So that was not the intention of this. Verse 7 of chapter 6 says that, And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. So if he says this and then he gives us a prayer that we should repeat all the time, that is a contradiction. So it was not meant to for that. It was meant just that we use this as a model, as a skeleton. And the biggest thing, the focus of our prayer should be the attitude of the heart. Our heart has to be right. Our heart has to be correct. And our motives have to be right and correct when we talk to God. The key or success to our to biblical prayer is we knowing the scriptures, knowing the word of God, knowing who God is, and knowing what God requires us to pray for. Because sometimes if we don't know the word of God, if we don't know what the Bible says about many things, we find ourselves praying in things which are opposite to what the Bible says. Or we're going to find ourselves saying things which are contradicting the word of God. So prayer, or biblical prayer, has to be based on truth, biblical truths about the attribute of God and what requires us to pray. Last time we saw as well the characteristic of Jewish old prayer, that this is not a new thing Jesus came with. He just put a little bit more life into it. It is an old way Jewish people did. They prayed. For Jewish people, prayer was always important. They prayed. They spoke to God. They had a relationship with God and they spoke to God. It was a requirement for them. They spoke to God all the time. And in their prayer, some things had to be there. Love and praise has to be there. When they went to God, they gave God the love. They loved God and they praised Him. And they were grateful and thankful to God for what He had done, what He was doing, and what He was going to do for them. For their lives, they were grateful and thankful. They didn't take anything for granted. They considered that God was holy. They knew that they were talking to God who was holy. God had to be respected. God had to be sanctified. That's why they were always thinking that God's name was holy. and they were obedient to God's word. That meant that whatever the outcome of the prayer, they were obedient to it. They didn't pray, and when it didn't turn out as they wanted, they changed their mind or they rebelled. What they did was they prayed and they were obedient to the outcome of the prayers. They confessed the sins. Jewish people confessed their sins. They knew that God was holy and they were sinners. And before they could speak to God, they had to confess their sins. They didn't just come to God anyhow. They knew that they were talking to a holy God and they had sinned against him. They had done things which were contradicting to the will of God. They were repenting of their sins. And their prayers were never selfish. They never only prayed for I, mine, and me. They prayed for the need of the nation, the need of the people around them. They prayed for the world. They prayed for many other things. They never focused only on themselves. As we see today, we pray only for me, 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 me. We don't pray for anything else. It's only by me. And prayer shouldn't be a selfish thing. It should be also for the need of others. They persevered in prayer, which means they prayed without ceasing. It was a continual thing. Even though it took time for the prayer to be answered, they continued to pray. They continued to pray. They continued to pray. And the last thing, they were humble in their hearts. Jewish people, they were humble in the way that they came, they submit their case to God, and God has to do it according to his will. They didn't force God. They were not arrogant on pride before God. They were humble in the prayers. And we're going to go step by step in the prayer today. And the main thing we're going to do is going to be your kingdom come and your will be done. That's what we're going to do today. Firstly, we saw that our Father in heaven, he shows the Spirit that we belong to God. God is not only our one person's God, he's God of others. We are sons and daughters. It shows the relationship we have with God. We have a father and son or father and daughter's relationship. God is our Father and we speak to him. We have a relationship with him. He's not just a stranger. He is somebody we know. And he lives in heaven. Or is God. We know what the Bible said. The second thing, hallowed be your name. God's name is to be sanctified. God's name is holy. And we have to say that God, he is holy. When we say, hallowed be your name, God who is holy, we recognize and we say, we acknowledge that he is holy, that he who is our Father is not as our heavenly Father, is not as anybody else, he is holy. Hallowed be your name. Your name be sanctified. Your name would be holy. And then we come to thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, or your kingdom come. We talk about, firstly, God is sovereign. Sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God. God is infinitely and absolutely sovereign. And God is, and God reigns. When we say, thy kingdom come, we acknowledge that God is the ruler. God is the one who reigns. God is in control of everything. That is what we acknowledge as believers. Book of Psalm, we could read the one we saw today. Psalm 47, could go there. We're going to stay in Psalm long, so once we turn it, we are there. Psalm 47, verse 8. Psalm 47, verse 8 says, God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. God is sovereign. God rules. God reigns. That's the God of the Bible. And we as believers, we want to stay in that will or in that kingdom which God is the ruler, which God is the king, which God reigns. We want to stay in that kingdom. This is the foundation of our faith as believers, as Christians. We have to know that God is sovereign. If we get this one wrong, if we think that God is hopeful, we are sovereign, or God is waiting, God has no power, or God is this, we got the foundation wrong. The foundation has to be God is sovereign, and God reigns, and God rules. And we say, your kingdom come. Psalm 93:1. We go there. We are in Psalm. We're going to stay there long. Psalm 93:1 says, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. We see the God of the Bible, time after time, the Bible tells us, God reigns. God is the ruler. God is the dictator. God is in control of the world. Their kingdom come. Psalm 96 verse 10. 96:10 says, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. We have the message, you and I, to tell the world that God reigns. That is the God of the Bible. It's not the God who is coexisting with the devil, or is co-reigning with the devil, or is sharing power with you and I, or with angels. The Bible tells us God reigns, God is sovereign. And this is also always to put us in right mind of frame about who God is, that God we're praying to, that God who is our Father, so that we don't end up making mistakes in our prayers. Psalm 97, verse 1. It says, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of us be glad. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. That is the God of the Bible. This God who reigns. This God who rules. This God who is in control of everything reigns. Psalm 103. 19. And it says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Again, same spirit. God rules. God is in control of everything. And in his kingdom, we want to live. We want to be part of. We don't want to be led by any other persons. Psalm 115. Verse 3, 115 says, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. God reigns. God is sovereign, God rules, and God is the creator of everything. His kingdom come. We acknowledge that. And that is, as I said, foundation of Christian belief. The Bible tells us he does whatever he pleases. There was this teacher, Miles Monroe or something, who just died, who said that God doesn't do anything without our permission. We have to allow him to do things. Definitely was not talking about the God of the Bible. Was talking about his own idol, his own things he has made, or his own idols. That was not the God of the Bible. The Bible tells us Our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. He doesn't need your permission. He doesn't need my permission. He does whatever He pleases. Psalm 135. Verse 6. It says, whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. Tell me where God is not sovereign. Tell me where God doesn't have the last say. Tell me. God says, God has the final word. God does what He does, He wants to do. Anywhere, there's nowhere where God is not a ruler, where God is not a king, where God doesn't reign. God does what He does in heaven, on earth. He does is God in the seas, is God even in hell. He is God. He rules and He does whatever He wants to do. Ephesians 1:11 talks about He who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God does all things according to the counsel of His will, according to His own purpose, according to His own desires, according to His own plans and purpose. He doesn't want us to tell Him what to do. He doesn't wait for our permission. He doesn't consult angels. He doesn't consult the devil. He doesn't consult anyone. God is sovereign. That's the God of the Bible. That kingdom come. And when we say in our prayers, we put this mind frame that we say, thy kingdom come, we say that we submit ourselves in this kingdom where you, God, are the one who reigns. You are the one who is ruling there. I want to be in that kingdom. God's kingdom is safe. God's kingdom is eternal. God's kingdom is powerful. God's kingdom is full of peace and satisfaction. God's peace, a kingdom, is where all believers want to dwell. We want to be there. We don't want to be in other kingdoms. God reigns. God reigns. God is sovereign. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. God is God in functioning reality. If you put all those things together, you see that He's functioning. He is God in all circumstances, all realities, all things. God is God. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Oh, your kingdom come in modern English. I'm talking Frederick's English. Your kingdom come. And then we come to your will be done. Your will be done. Why do we pray? That's the first question I'm going to ask. Why do we pray? We pray because God has commanded us to pray. It is the command God has commanded us. When we see in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 5, the beginning, it says, when you pray. It says, when you pray. The Bible doesn't tell us if you pray or if you feel like praying. It tells us when you pray. That means we are commanded to pray. It is the requirement of God. It is a command from God that we should pray. We should be communicating to God. And prayer is a constant communication with God. We come to God with our problems. We tell our problems to God. We lay them before Him. We talk to Him. Our happiness, our troubles, or all other things we feel, we tell God. Not only our problems, and we tell also the needs of others. we pray for others as well. And that is constant thing we do to God. And we lay them before God and we live that God does what he does according to his own will. Prayer is not commanding God, as many people think they do. We are commanding God. Prayer is not claiming things from God, as many will think. We go to God there to claim our things. Prayer is not manipulating God. We go there and manipulate him so that he does things. Prayer is talking to God, laying our problems before him. Book of Ephesians, could go there. Ephesians 6:18. It is a command. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We are commanded to pray for all the saints, for everything and anything. We are commanded to pray whenever, wherever, or for whatever. We have to pray for that. We are commanded to pray. If God has done the work in us, if we are not enemies of God, we will be always willing to talk to God. It is a constant thing we want to do. We want to talk to God. That's why we pray, because we are commanded by God. If we work with computers or in networks, you have a server, you have cables which communicate, or we have other devices, they can be far away. Server is here, and you have cameras, you might have other computers or printers and stuff somewhere. Those things are always in contact. They're sending requests all the time to check that, are you alive? Are you alive? Are you alive? Are you alive? The server will send some packets or some parcels, some signal, asking that camera with a way of IP addresses or something. They communicate all the time. It can be every 10 seconds, can be every second, it can be every hour or every 20 minutes. They check each other. Are you alive? Are you alive? And our system with security, we work, we see that it checks. If that device doesn't reply, something is wrong. And if it tries again, doesn't reply, I get an email that something is wrong there. And then I look, okay, something might happen there. Let's wait. And if I get that same email again, I am obliged to go and look the system, that is that device on, or is it dead, or is the power failure, or is it something, or is it network, or is it what? It has to be direct contact all the time. And that's how we should be with God. We should have a relationship. We should have a conversation. We should talk all the time. It may be loud, it may be inside our heart, but we have to be always communicating with God, thanking God, praising him, and doing that, because it is a command. God wants us to talk to us. He doesn't want us to be saved and we are just there, we don't talk to him. If you like, as the Bible says, he's our father. You have a father you don't talk to. Or you have a mother you don't talk to. You don't say a word, you don't say, wait, what relationship do you have? What relationship do you have? You have no relationship. But if you talk to them all the time, the relationship is working. God has saved us. He wants us to have a relationship. He has commanded us to pray. Book of Colossians. We can go to Colossians. Colossians 4:2. This is another command by the apostle. Apostle Paul is commanding. He's saying, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Continue earnestly in prayer. He wants us to continue to pray. He wants us to communicate with God. He wants us to have a relationship. That's why we pray. That's why we pray. And in finishing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We are commanded to be always active in our praying life, our communication with God, our conversation with God. Prayer shouldn't be only when we meet together or when we have problems or when we want to talk. It is, we have been commanded to talk to God often. We talk to God. We talk to God. We are told to pray without ceasing. And I said what prayer is, why we're praying. And then we go now to something new. What it is not when we pray. What is not the intention of prayer when we say that will be done? What is not the intention of it? Because many people might be going to God saying, that will be done, meaning something else. When we say, that will be done, and prayer does not change the mind of God. That is something. When we pray, it doesn't mean that we go there to change God's mind, as many might think. Prayer does not change the mind of God. Because God is immutable. God is unchangeable. Malachi 3:6, it says, for I, God, do not change. God doesn't change. God doesn't change. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. He doesn't change. Let's turn to Psalm 102. Psalm 102, verse 25 to 27. It says, of old I laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. That is God. We are changing. We are transforming. We are changing. God doesn't change. So our prayer doesn't change minds of God. We have to put that in our mind. Because if we have that that mind that now I'm going to God to talk to him to change his mind, we have wrong understanding of prayer. If God will change for good, that means that he is not perfect. He's not as good as he is now. He's not God. Or if God will change for bad, change his mind for us, that will mean that God is not perfect. God is not holy as he is now. So the Bible tells us one of the attributes says he is unchangeable. He is immutable. James 1:17 says, with God there is no variation of shadow or shadow of turning. There is no variation in God. God doesn't change. So your prayer doesn't change the mind of God. I try to say this, the negatives first, so that we understand what prayer is not. Next time we're going to talk about the positives, what prayer does. But it will be wrong for us to have this mind frame that I'm going to talk to God now. Because I prayed to God now, God has to change his mind. If you do that, your prayer life will never last. Will never last. Or you will start blaming yourself. As we see many people outside there. They pray and it doesn't happen. They are told by the preacher or by the guy that it's your fault. You have sinned. You have sins in your life. You didn't believe. You didn't have faith. You didn't do this. You didn't do this. Pray more. Do this, do this, do this. Instead of knowing that prayer doesn't change God's mind. God doesn't change his mind because of your prayer. Prayer changes us to fit in the will of God, in the mind of God. Prayer changes us. God doesn't change because we pray. God doesn't change, and prayer doesn't change God's mind. And prayer does not change the will of God. That's something else. It doesn't change the will of God when we go and pray. It doesn't change. Psalm 33, we could read it. 10. To 11. He says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generation. God's will, God's plans, God's purposes stand forever. Whatever God has planned in eternity past that they're going to happen today won't change today because we pray, because circumstances come, because God won't change. Our plans change, our purposes change, but God's plan is the same. It doesn't change. That is the God who is sovereign, that God who is immutable, that God who is unchangeable, and that's the same God which continues. When we say that will be done, we have to have that in our mind. That I'm not talking to God now that he changes his mind. I'm not talking to God now that he changes his will to give me what I want. That takes even off this thing that we go to God to manipulate him. There is no such because we know what the Bible says. Proverbs 19. We could read Proverbs 19. 21, it says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. You and I plan. How many plans do we have? How many plans have we had? We can only plan. But God's plans, God's purposes will stand forever. Don't think that you come to God to pray to change his mind. As I said again, those are the negatives. Don't be discouraged. Don't think there's no way. There is a way. We talk about the negatives today because if we know the negatives, we will focus more in positives as well. We will know the balance of these things. Isaiah, we can go there. Isaiah 14. 26 to 27. Isaiah 14, 26 to 27. He says, this is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out of all the nations. For the Lord of the host has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? This is God. When his purpose something, when his plan something, it will come to pass. God doesn't change. God is not becoming better, or God is not becoming less God is immutable. He doesn't change. Prayers, you can pray from day to night. You can pray 47. If it is not in the will of God, it won't happen. It won't happen. It won't happen. And your prayer won't change the will or the mind of God. Isaiah 47. Yeah, 46, sorry. Isaiah 46. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. That's God saying. His counsel will stand. His plans, his purpose will stand. He will not change because of that. That is the thing in mind we know, that if we know this, we will have right mind when we come to pray to God, when we say, that will be done. Prayer doesn't change God's eternal plans. It doesn't change. God knows what is best. God is the ruler of his kingdom. God is the ruler of the earth, heaven, and hell and the seas. God is the perfect ruler. He doesn't change his plans. Out of all these kinds of things, we see bad habits have come into our praying. We know people say that will be done, but there are three things we can go through quickly here when they say that will be done. Number one, people say that will be done with an attitude of bitterness. People are bitter to God. Let's say you have a dad who has had cancer. You've been praying, and your dad dies. You see people still praying that will be done with bitterness, that they are bitter toward God. They're almost saying that will be done with a fist pointing to God. Like, why this? It's God's will. It's God's will. It's God's will. It's God's will. They're saying this with bitter resentment. Yeah, that will be done. Knowing that it won't happen. Knowing that they've given up. They are saying it just thinking that God is a bad God. God is a dictator. God is a bully. God doesn't listen. God doesn't care. God is a dictator. He doesn't care. Not knowing the character, the attribute God, the Bible tells us, is God of love. He cares for us. He listens to our prayers. He defends us. He protects us. He does things for us. They don't have that. They just only have this bad side. They think God is this. He's arrogant. He doesn't care. That will be done with a fist, with teeth together. That will be done. That is lack of knowledge about who God is. When we say that will be done, please don't say it with bitter resentment. You are angry, you have given up, and you just say it. Don't do that. And there's other people who say that will be done with passive mind. They've resigned. They've given up. That will be done. Yeah. That will be done. That will be done. Yeah. Something happens. A child is being molested or killed. A woman is being raped. Yeah, it is God's will. It's God's will. something happened bad, they lose their job because of injustice. Yeah, it's God's will. It's not God's will that children get molested. It's not God's will that women are raped. It's not guilt that there's war, people are being killed. It's not God's will. It's not God's will. But it still fits in God's, God still tolerates that. And we don't stand there and say, yeah, that will be done. It's God's will. We just resign. We say it. We have no faith that our prayer can change things. Prayer doesn't change the minds of God, but God changes things. By we praying, God can change the situations, circumstances, and stuff around us. Even though He doesn't change, even though His will doesn't change, because His will is not that man should perish. His will is that we should come to repentance. God's will is not that children will be molested. God's will is not that injustice will overcome. That's not God's will. So don't say, your will be done, in the mind that I have no power, I'm powerless, I've resigned it. Anyway, everything is God's will. God is going to do it as it is. No. The Bible tells that the prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. We rebelling against the evil of this world, we not agreeing with the injustice of this world, we come to God, we bang to God, we cry to God, we say, God, we're not going to stop until injustice, until these wicked people are put away. The Bible tells us God changes the heart of the king. Even the heart of the king is in the hand of God. God doesn't change, but He changes situations. And there's the last one, which is, people say that will be done with theological reservation. They reserved. Yeah, it's God's will. They think that everything is cut, deal done. Deal done. There's no way we can change it. They say they will be done so that whatever the outcome, they are safe. They can't go out there and pray, God, we pray for this situation. Change this. God, change this situation, please, for us. They say this, that will be done to be safe. They're reserved. They want to be in safe place. Good outcome, bad outcome. It's God's will. That's not that. God has commanded us to pray. God is sovereign. God changes situations. God changes circumstances. God changes the heart of the kings. God changes the hearts of the churches. Can change if God is prayed. If God changes things. Or if God says His word, situation change. If we are in this right mind of frame, we know who God is all about, what prayer is all about. We will be grateful. We will thank God for answered prayers. We will thank God for unanswered prayers. Or who will pray God? Thank God for even the delayed answers to our prayers. You know, there are two things or three things which happen when we pray. When we pray in the will of God, God answers. But we can pray in the will of God and it is the wrong timing. God tells you, hold on, hold on. This is not the right time. It may take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. But you have done your duty. You have prayed to God. You have spoken to God. And He hears. And He can change situations. Don't be the one who's there, who's saying that will be done. You feel defeated. You have wrong understanding of God. You have no trust that God can change. You just say it because you have to say it, that will be done. Something you stick at the back, at the end of your prayer, or in the middle of your prayer. It is God's will. Or something you say that so that you are safe afterwards. God is sovereign. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God's will is done, as he says here. He says, on earth as it is in heaven. Why does he say that? Because God's will is being done in heaven. But all God's will is always not done on earth. We rebel against God. We are wicked. We don't listen to God. We don't care about what God says. In heaven, there's no discussions. There is in heaven, there is no resentment. There is no disobedience in heaven, because there's only one will. That's the will of God. On earth, there's many wills. That's why we have to pray as it is done in heaven. As it is done in heaven. Angels hear the word of God, they jump to it because they know it is the perfect will. God is sovereign. We have to remember that. The kingdom come. We want to be part of that kingdom. We want to stay in that kingdom because we belong to God. We are not in the kingdom of the devil, of children of disobedience. We want to live in kingdom in which God is the ruler. He is the only ruler. He is the perfect ruler. He rules with righteousness and justice. He cares for us, and we want to be in that kingdom. And he's sovereign. Nothing goes past him. Nothing goes beyond his power. In God's kingdom, there is peace, there is joy, there is satisfaction. In God's peace, there is eternal life. That's the kingdom we want to come to be in. And your will be done. We say God's will is perfect. God's will is what we have to do. We have to pray. God knows everything is planned. We all have brothers and sisters, mothers, we have fathers, we have neighbors, we have colleagues who are not believers, who are having it tough. And we have to pray for them. We have to pray for them. We can't just sit there and be just happy because we are saved, because we are this. We have a duty to pray for them. And God's will won't change if those we pray for, they were not elect or elected from the beginning. It don't make them to be elected because we pray for them. But the good thing is that we don't know who's elect of God and who's elect of God. We don't know. We don't know. So we have a duty to pray. God answers prayers. God answers prayers. God listens to our prayers. God changes situations. God changes circumstances. And he wants us to pray. That will be done is God's sovereign will. God's will of purpose. God's divine will. Those eternal will. Perfect will be done. And we are happy with that will. That doesn't mean that when things go bad, things are as they are today, we are saying that it's God's will. It's God's will. It's because the church of God is dying. Wolves have gone into the church. They are destroying the church. And we say it's God's will. It's God's will. We don't pray for them. We don't do anything for them. We have the duty to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Those are the negatives. Prayer doesn't change the mind of God. Prayer doesn't change the will of God. And when we say that your will be done, we don't say it with bitterness. Don't say it with passive resignation. And don't say it with theological reservation. Know your God, and your prayer life will continue. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for what your Spirit is doing to us as we learn about prayer, talking to you, Father, as we saw your kingdom come and your will be done. Father, this is our desire. We want to live, Lord, in your kingdom. We want to be fully committed to your kingdom. Father, we want to be partakers in your kingdom. Help us, Father, to be obedient to your will, to live in your will, to love your will, and so to be satisfied with your will. Forbid it, Lord, that we will be passive. We will be accepting the wills of wicked men, saying that is your will. You are holy. You are good God, God of love. God who cares for your children. Father, help us in our prayers. Pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.